Each one of us need to understand within our own heart the gift that Almighty God has given us. That first Christmas morning so often is what we look at, and in our plays that we see our children involved with, and adults also, we see them portrayed as the Christ child in a manger. So he was, yes, born 100% human and 100% God. Now, the separation and dividing of those natures was in the hands of God. And God is the one that directed his only begotten Son. I'm going to read you a scripture, which is Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. And in this scripture, I believe if you will truly focus your heart, you will be able to realize within your heart that the fullness of time is almost here. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The fullness of time is mentioned throughout Scripture. I have no number. I don't even know that in the different languages that you can put a number on it. But the teaching of the fullness of time is a teaching direct from God. God lets every one of us know, and he helps us to understand that each thing that is going on within our life, every situation, every trial, every tribulation, because I am a child of God, God warns me from time to time, the fullness of time is coming, Larry. And the fullness of time coming means it's time to fess up. It's time to pay up. It's time to look up. It's time to feel the power of the Holy of Holies. And the fullness of time is when God fills us, each one of us, with his Holy Spirit. The fullness of time is of God and God alone. You and I have no authority. You and I have absolutely no power when it comes to God's fullness of time. Every day you and I witness life playing out in our own individual family. Every day you and I will witness the breakdown of families, the breakdown of churches, the breakdown of nations. And God says, why don't you pay attention to something? You notice where Galatians says, and when the fullness of time had come, God. Go back to Genesis. In beginning, God. The article, the, wasn't in there. In beginning, God. In fullness of time, God. Folks, it will always be God. You may lose your way. You may feel the hurt and pain of life so deep within your heart that you don't understand it. You don't know what to do next. But the fullness of time will come. In every situation, you and I have witnessed in our own life the fullness of the time. The fullness of time of suffering. The fullness of time of agony. The prophet after prophet after prophet throughout what we call the Old Testament said the Messiah is coming. And throughout the whole Old Testament, you will see human beings, the human mind, and the depravity of the human mind attempting to create the Messiah in their own mind and in their own image. And many through that Old Testament, you will see, were counted as the Messiah. But the time had not come. It was the fullness of time of God that was going to make the difference. The fullness of time of when God reaches into the heart and God says, okay, I know you feel like you're sinking, Is that any feeling like maybe it was before you accepted my son as Lord and Savior? Did you feel the hurt and did you feel the pain? It'll only last for a time. And then it's going to fill up. God will only put up with arrogance for a time. And in the fullness of that time, God. And when the fullness of time comes and God, nations will bow before him. Families will bow before him. All the heavenly host will bow before him. The fullness of time is in the heart and the mind of God, but it's coming. The final fullness of time is on its way and truly closer than we believe or even think. Why do we witness in our generation some of the most vileness of all generations? Oh, you mean there's difference in the sins from the past? No. You and I are witnessing in our generation what we have not been used to seeing. I'm not saying it didn't happen before, but I will tell you this. To every nation that it happened to, they collapsed. To every nation, the fullness of time came. And only when a nation would turn its back on the only begotten Son, the fullness of time. Because Jesus is the person that's going to bring to you and to me the hope for tomorrow. I got a promise of today. I got hope for tomorrow. The promise of my day is that Jesus says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. You might be a mess, Larry, but you belong to me. You're my mess. I will never walk off from you. And yet all of creation, as they've watched from the beginning, wherein the scripture says, in beginning God. All the heavenly host have witnessed God. All the animals, all of the plant life, everything that exists knows there's a God. And the human race has turned their back on their only hope. I've witnessed this past week something that I think is so wonderful. God said that we would get too cocky. Nations would. And we would think that we're doing something on our own and have nothing to do with God. And God says, let me show you my miracle. Let me show you my strength. I will use the simple to confound those who think they're so wise. And I had to smile with Doug Dynasty folk. I thought, good gracious, can you believe that I remember beards, from the old days and all of this, that God did more to bring attention to what every one of us ought to be doing on a reality show, and an individual that would not look like what the station thought they should, refused to pray without using the name of Jesus in the end. And he quoted scripture, and all the world said, oh, I can't believe you said that. Well, he didn't. It was God that said it. He was repeating what God said. Folks, it's not the warning to hurt folks that is going on. The warning is there because the fullness of time is about here. Listen, when you and I live out this life to the point when God says your fullness of your time has come, you're leaving. You got it? It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I have an appointed time. I don't know the appointed time, yet we see the seasons of the appointed time. And God says, I'm making that appointment. Well, do you realize that's the fullness of our time's up? I can't go back and change anything. I have no authority to change anything. The fullness of time is up. And God says, I'm going to warn the whole world. As once again, all the heavenly host is going to look on. And the scripture explains to us the awe struck angels as they look down. Human beings, how can they do this when they've been given such a great gift? The prophets knew the gift was coming and didn't show up. The prophets knew, and they proclaimed the truth to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders didn't show up. The prophets had a good reason not to be there, because they weren't there on earth. They had warned in advance. The religious leaders of that day had no excuse. They told the world, we are the wisest, Pharisees and Sadducees. We know it all. If they were that wise, how come not a one of them showed up at the birth of the king to come? How come none of them noticed? Had they become wise only in their own eyes, in their own mind? Was the wisdom not that of man instead of the wisdom of God? A lot of educated folks, a lot of people have got educated into ministry. Education is wonderful. When you get the call, get all you can get of education. But education doesn't get you any closer to the heart of God. When the Lord looks at me and looks at you and says through his word, you must become as a little child. Meaning you've got to have a heart of belief. You have to have a heart of trust. Now each one of us as adults, look in our own life. Do we have that kind of heart as adults? Or have we hardened our heart to the truth? To live in fun or live in what we think is fun for a short period. God is watching because he loves us. God is not setting up our wanting to catch us in something. He's watching us because he loves us. He sent his holy angels to watch over us in our day-to-day operation. Sure, I believe that. He said, I have set life in order. Just as he did during the creation week, he created what needed to be created on each day. He took a mess of chaos, nothing. That means nothing. And he created everything from nothing. And when he did that, the fullness of time began for us. Man would be made and created from the dust of the earth, but the spirit in that man will be direct from God. And the scripture says, and God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul in the fullness of time. God does not have a clock. Because time is not relevant to God. It is to us. And he says, now, I want you to understand this. I sent my son, my only begotten son, as a gift. Do you dare insult the one who gives you a gift and not open it? Do we dare take a gift from someone who loves us? Go back to the child. Look at us. Are we not to become as little children in our commitment to Christ? Total belief that mom and dad knows everything. Totally ready to do whatever we're told. As a little child in Christ, I'm sending you the greatest gift that's ever been given. And the humanity on earth in our own generation mocks once again the blood of our Savior. Jesus prayed in the garden the very night that he was betrayed. The 100% human part of him was in agony and great distress. He knew about the fullness of time. And he also knew that his Father was the timekeeper. And in that agony and so much hurt and pain in the garden, he cried out with a voice that would ring throughout the heavens, "Abba! Daddy! Daddy! If there's another way, let me take it." And as they would witness as the great sweat, as drops of blood would come from him in his agony. But in the fullness of time, short period right there, in the agony, he completed his prayer. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Do you realize that when he said that to God the Father, the fullness of time had come, that the human body that Jesus was in could no longer control, no longer feel the pain, because the prophets had said he would not cry out. You and I watch as we see the Passion of the Christ in the latest movie and see how badly he was beaten. But he never made a sound. That cannot happen from man's standpoint, but it can from God's. Because Jesus was there. He came as a baby and everything was cute. Well, except for those looking for him to kill him. During his whole life, he would grow up learning about humanity. And people say, "I wonder why we don't have those stories." He was dealing with humanity. You and I dealing with the same humanity. And in the fullness of time, he began his ministry. Why? He was fulfilling his mission as God incarnate. He saw you and he saw me. He saw everyone that has been born and everyone that would be born. All those in the Old Testament he would look at and know that they had truly accepted him, knowing that he was coming, and they believed that he was coming. And then he came. Folks, do not look for the world to give you the direction. Look into your own heart as God attempts to direct your life every day. You want excitement? In the fullness of time, you'll see it. I could not preach the way I preach today because the fullness of time had not come. I had to preach the way God would tell me to preach and grow in the Word of God and grow in the truth and the hurt of humanity. And as we continue to get older, we still look at the Word and say, "You know, I'm still not there. Lord, there's so much that I don't know." And I also can hear God saying, "Yeah, a lot more than you think, Larry, that you don't know." We, right now, are dealing with more brokenness in our lives than we could have ever imagined. We're seeing not only the decay of a nation, but the falling of the greatest nation. But what made us a great nation, was it not the same God that looked out into the wilderness of sin and found the people that no other nation wanted, and God chose that people, the Hebrews? He chose them to be his own because nobody else wanted them, and he made into them a great nation. And the only time that they were truly to fall as a nation was when they refused to continue to follow God's word and tell them about Jesus, and that the freedom of life is a gift from God, direct from the heart of God. It's called the gospel, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that generation said, no, we want only the Jews going to heaven. And God took a message, and he gave it to the Gentiles. And now we witness our own nation turning the back on the very name that made us great. Has God removed his hand from America? Let me ask you this. Has America removed his heart from God? Has America turned its back on the only hope that was born in a manger, suffered as any human would ever suffer, and was betrayed by the very people that he came to die for? Do you really believe in your heart that Jesus would be a part of the celebrations of Christmas today? Think of this within your own heart. How many of you know, don't answer me, please. How many of you know within your own heart that during this Christmas time you've become so stressed simply because you wanted to give somebody something, don't know how to do it? That's not Jesus' Christmas. How many families do you see fussing, feuding, and fighting? We got to go to my mom's. We got to go to your mom's. We got to go to the grandparents. We got to go here. We got to go there. Which one we go to first? You can't go to that one first. Merry Christmas. Think of it. And then you go to buy the gift. I remember when the Cabbage Patch dolls came out. And during the shopping season, remember, they were very rare. And this one woman had her arms full with the Cabbage Patch dolls, all she could carry, and one more on the floor, and she was kicking it up the aisle. Somebody bent over to help her pick it up. They thought she had dropped it. And the most horrible fight you ever saw happened. Merry Christmas. Think of it. People are stealing nativity scenes and if Santa Claus and everybody else out of the front yard, the figurines. They're driving by with pellet guns and shooting the blow-up ones. What is going on? There is, and you will hear this, because this will be my focus. The Sunday morning of 2014, the first Sunday of 2014, be here. There's a special message that God has laid on my heart as next year, Vine Grove Baptist Church is going to focus on the year 2014, our time of commitment. We keep waiting for everybody else to get it together, and we don't have it together. A time of commitment. And God looked down and he saw that man's heart was evil continually. And he was sorry that he had made man. The conversation between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit out of the realm of this life, we may learn some about when we leave this body, but somewhere along the line, Jesus said, I'll go for a nation that's going to mock you, Father. I'll go. And in order for me to show them how much I love them, I will go as a baby, just like they started. A human baby in the womb of a human mother. Divinely, divinely sent by God. And I will suffer all that humanity will ever suffer in order to conquer it. You see, everything Jesus did for you and me, in the fullness of time, you're going to see. In the fullness of time, when you step over into glory, you're going to see a God that truly does exist, and you will see a God that loves you and welcomes you in. And you will see the Savior of the universe born in a manger. And he will let you know, Merry Christmas. This is what it's all about. Oh, preacher, you just don't want kids to get stuff and all of this. Nah, you got the wrong preacher on that one, and you all know it. I want the children to understand something about Christmas. The fullness of time of Christmas is coming. The Bible says it. Look at the time and look at the seasons. Pay attention to what is going on around you. God said, let me give you the wisdom to look around, and when you see these things appearing in your generation, the fullness of time is shortly to be recognized. Yes, Jesus came in a manger. And God said, Merry Christmas. And humanity from the beginning has thrown God's Christmas gift back at his face. They have taken the blood of his only begotten Son and watched it poured out on the ground for you and for me. And they've stepped in the blood of God and said, there's no such thing as God. There's no such person as Jesus. And they say it is foolishness. What's more foolish? Those of us who worship Christ, knowing that he exists in our heart, or those individuals that says there is no God and spend multi-millions of dollars trying to prove God doesn't exist? Now, who's the most foolish on that one? If there is no God, you truly going to waste your time? But I will assure you, God is real. Jesus is alive. The Holy Spirit has touched your heart and my heart. Folks, you better be about your Father's business, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. What will he see when he looks at the heart, the spiritual you? Will he see a reflection of himself in that forgiveness? If he sees the reflection of the world, you're standing before the wrong God, and he will redirect your travel throughout eternity. Believe it. Love, faith, hope, charity. Yes, that's all of God. But how can you trust it if you don't believe there's a God? Do you put your trust in your own family? You got your trust in the wrong ones. You can love your own family, but the trust for you in life is trusting in God through the greatest gift that's ever been given. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, Merry Christmas. God has given us the greatest gift. Do not throw it back in his face. Not a wise move. Let us as a church unite together. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk to you about resurrection, not insurrection. Resurrection. Can the church be resurrected? the church as a whole. Can the church be resurrected? My answer to you is no, not unless the gospel is preached in the pulpits of our nation. God will use foolishness, including people like me, to take the truth. Believe it. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. We ask you now, dear Lord God, as you touch each family, bless them. Protect them, Heavenly Father, as they travel. And the many of our servicemen and women who are traveling to see their loved ones through Christmas and the new year. Please watch over them, Father. Protect them as they travel. We ask now, dear Lord God, that you bless this assembly, your children, with the greatest blessing that we could ever receive, your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. And we can say, Merry Christmas. Let your will be done in the days and the years ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.